The Property Pod. Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. My name is Suren Naidu and I've been covering the broader property industry for more than 15 years. In this podcast, we chat to movers and shakers in the property industry. Isaac Peterson, CEO of Dipula Income Fund, is my guest for this episode, and we are talking retail property. More specifically, community-focused shopping centers in township and rural areas, which seem to be performing better in the wake of COVID-19 compared to larger regional and super-regional malls in urban areas. Isaac, welcome to the Property Pod.
Thank you, Suren.
Before we get into the topic, give us a little bit of background on Dipula, Isaac. I know you are a founder of the company, but how long have you been in the game? Tell us, what's the scale and value of Dipula's property portfolio? And considering the topic, what percentage is made up of township and rural centers?
Yeah, so then I've been in property for more than 2 decades now, to be exact, about 25 years. Dipula itself was founded in 2005, initially with a portfolio of about 300 million, which we managed to grow to about 1.4 within about 3 years of our founding. And in 2011, the company was listed on the JSE, acquired a further portfolio, got our portfolio to about 2 billion rand, and it subsequent to that grown to about a 9 billion portfolio. We own predominantly retail properties in the convenience and community center sector of the retail sector. Our properties are located throughout South Africa, and as I said, we are retail buyers. About 60% of our portfolio is in retail. We also own industrial and office properties, and of late have also entered the affordable housing market.
That sounds great. Fantastic success story there. More than half of your portfolio is now in retail space. Mm-hmm. Does this mean the fund is benefiting from the trend that we've been seeing since the outbreak of COVID-19? We've seen lots of other REITs that have exposure to retail. I've seen the smaller community centers, especially the township and rural areas, performing better.
So, Serena, I think it's probably a sort of a longer-term story unfolding here. I mean, if you look at the amount of development that's was undertaken in South Africa over a period of time. I think there's been quite a lot of development, large super-regional shopping centers, but not necessarily the same amount of tenants are entering the market. So we've had massive business failures in the past, 10 years or so, Stutterfords, your Edcons. And I think some of that space is not replaceable. We've had international guys entering the market and not growing or rolling out stores at a pace that was anticipated. So you kind of find yourself in a situation where you've got more space than the tenancies, that are required, or demand for space from tenancies. So it's very difficult to repurpose space that was specifically built for certain tenants. And I think that problem is more prevalent, obviously, in your larger shopping centers than the smaller shopping centers. But I think if you look at how retail has now been taken to the people in the rural centers, I mean, there was massive leakage to bigger centers. And, as an industry started rolling out properties more conveniently located closer to our communities, on the rural side of things. And I think there hasn't been overdevelopment there, firstly. And number two, there's quite a large informal economy that exists that is probably not captured by the Reserve Bank. And that hasn't changed. That has stayed, fairly stable. There's some support coming from social grants into those markets. There's money being sent from, generally speaking, people have one foot in the city and one foot in the rural area, and quite a bit of money is getting sent back home. Their families reside there. And I think there's a level of stability as far as that's concerned. And these centers also tend to only house essential retail rather than discretionary retail, to a large degree. When it comes to urban convenience community centers, I think the lockdown has assisted quite a bit because people are now working from home. So there's no point in them traveling to a regional center to actually go buy the bare basics.
Mm.
So we've seen that as quite interesting support for those community-based centers. I mean, as you've rightfully said, I mean, we were one of the few counties that whose portfolio stayed stable year on year at our last reporting period. I mean, there's an article yesterday indicating that on average, you know, the sector had fallen about 8% in terms of asset values. Our portfolio was stable. And the only reason our portfolio was stable was because we maintained our income, our vacancies were stable. And I think that when you look at cap rates and discount rates, super regional centers always enjoyed quite a, you know, a low discount rate dispensation, because there's always an assumption that they've got better embedded growth. But I think that scenario is reversed now, where your community-based centers and your smaller centers are probably embedded with better growth prospects than the regional centers.
I know your results is coming out of period, but rural centers versus urban community centers, are you still seeing growth there? Is it continuing, considering we are in a lower lockdown period at the moment?
We certainly are. We're seeing sustained turnovers from our retailers. I think people eat at home and less at restaurants. So therefore, supermarkets are enjoying great support from that point of view. And we also, as I just explained earlier on, I think this whole phenomena of working closer to home or at home or from home is also providing great support from that point of view. So our centers are trading very well at the moment. You know, our occupancy rates are sustained. And I think we're quite fortunate, from that point of view. And we do believe that, we did indicate at our pre-close, discussion with the market that, our numbers were looking very similar to last year in spite of COVID-19. And we're talking here about pre-COVID-19, because we were only hit by COVID-19 in the second half of our financial year last year.
So there's some good news stories, or relatively good news stories, still in the property market. Just on this trend, do you think it's supported by COVID-19, and will it really continue? I think it sounds crazy to think post-COVID-19, but would this trend continue post-COVID-19? Because with my coverage of property over the years, the trend of developments in rural and township areas has been quite topical over a number of years, so it's not really new.
Yes. Look, I mean, it's a tenanting story. I mean, when you start a new business in the retail space, you're probably going to test your concept in a smaller center or a high street type setup rather than a large shopping center, because, I mean, the rentals are quite steep in super regional shopping centers. So, I mean, I believe that there's a lot of new concepts being tested by great business people. There's a huge amount of second-tier retailers coming to the market. There's consolidation in that sector. I mean, we've seen, larger retail groups on the fashion side sort of buy out smaller guys, Mr. Prizes and Yuppie Chefs, et cetera, et cetera. And we're probably going to see a bit more of that consolidation happening in the market. But as that happens, the founders of these businesses and other guys are going to start new businesses, and that's going to go on. And I think we'll be recipients of that. But we're also seeing larger guys testing out smaller formats, and those smaller formats are more suited for your community-based centers and your rural centers. And I think people are also adapting the model to also speak more to, your majority LSMs in the country, which are the sort of lower LSMs, which implies that we'll be recipients of that sort of trends. So I'm very confident that, our choice of a retail sector 15 years ago was the right choice. And, I kind of believe that, if things return to normality, it doesn't imply that, we'll take the backseat there. In fact, I think that we will definitely shoot out the lights if that scenario ensued. At the moment, stability is definitely going to be the order of the day, and as far as our chosen market segment is concerned.
That's great. Just on a concluding note, I know you talked about retailers and changes in the market with big retailers taking over smaller retailers.
Mm-hmm.
But the second tier retailers are almost silent players in your space.
Mm-hmm.
You will know their names.
Mm-hmm.
Buyers will know, or the shoppers will know their names.
Mm-hmm.
But for affluent shoppers to the super regional malls, they'll say, what is this retailer, OBC, the other butchery chains, for example. So I've kind of put a few names there, but as a concluding thought or comment, which retailers are benefiting most from the better performance of township and rural malls?
Yeah, I think any retailer that has pointed and adapted product and that understands, that market segments and that actually adapts product fairly quickly is better positioned. So, I mean, some of these second tier guys are brilliant business people. They don't sit on product if it doesn't move. They replace it fairly quickly. They typically owner-managed and owner-run. I mean, if you take the example of an OBC, for example, I mean, almost all the stores belong to businessmen or business people. And it's basically on a franchised basis. And our experience has been that, your franchise stores, even in the case of the likes of, your Pick and Pace, tend to outperform your corporate stores because, people have skin in the game. They work that business a bit harder. So you're right about the guys almost operating below the radar here for perhaps the urban super regional shopper. But I mean, those names are household names in the sectors that we play in. In fact, people sort of demand that we have some of that. And the other great thing that I didn't mention earlier on is that, there's been a relaxation of exclusivity clauses from some of the larger retailers, which then means that, we've now got the opportunity to take some of these exciting new concepts or existing concepts, sort of mid-tier concepts, into our centers. And that just the customer has more choice. And the larger guy also then has to up his game. So it's great news for the customer overall. And it's great news for us to have that amount of choice in terms of what we put in these centers.
Sounds interesting. Thank you, Isaac, for your time.
Thank you, Soren.
We'll have to see how things pan out. That was Isaac Peterson, CEO of Dipula Income Fund.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Soren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Soren on Twitter at Soren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories.